You're listening to the Teach Better Talk podcast, featuring expert educators eager to share progressive tactics to reach more students. Teach Better Talk is created by teachers and fueled by passion. Let's get started.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 24 of Teach Better Talk. I am Ray Hewart, and as always, I'm with the wonderful Jeff Gargis.
Hey guys.
We have so much in store for this episode. It's ridiculous. But before we get into any of the fun and all the magic, Jeff, how is your day going?
Oh, my day is going fantastic, but I'm super excited right now because we get to do one of the things that you and I have just absolutely loving, and that is getting to talk to amazing educators on Teach Better Talk. It's been such a fun journey. Episode 24, I say it all the time, but like that's just amazing that we're there. Super excited. Today we've got Monica Genta, who's a fantastic educator, author, speaker, blogger, ed consultant, and just super awesome person, I guess is the best way to sum that up. She's a middle school science teacher by nature, I guess I'll say, Monica, and an ed consultant as well, working with teachers all around the country, an author of two different books, Game Changers and 180 Days of Awesome. Super excited to have you on, Monica. Thank you so much for taking some time out of your day and chatting with us. How are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling amped up. I love talking with people and connecting in this 21st century driven environment. And like, I think it's hard because sometimes you can't see people when you're doing a podcast, but I love that I can feel great energy just coming through the sound wave. So let's do this.
I love it. Let's do it.
Oh, Monica, I am so excited that you're here. I know that we get to talk via Instagram stories constantly, but really just for those of you that may not stalk you on Instagram, I know Jeff gave you an introduction, but can you tell us a little more about yourself? When people come up to you and say, hey, Monica, what do you do for a living? What's your typical answer?
My answer is I help teachers and students transform education from average to awesome. And so for the past 10 years, I've been doing that at a middle school. And this year, I'm on a slightly different adventure, traveling all over the United States. And this summer, I'll be traveling internationally to go into schools and help teachers and help ed leaders and help just communities make sure that every single person who walks into a school is seriously loving that experience. That is what I'm passionate about, because I think education really, truly deserves to be celebrated.
Wow. I can, you talk about feeling passion through the airwaves, man. I can feel it right now from you. Fantastic. Good. I love the way you describe what you do and what you're trying to do. You can feel that passion in there. So you said internationally, where are you going? Do you know where all you're going right now? Can you share that with us?
Yeah. So right now, I will be speaking in the Bahamas over the summer.
Nice.
And working on, it's a little bit hard. International travel is tough, but I'm currently talking with some schools in the UK to see if we can't make something happen, and also just a little bit of preliminary conversation in Canada.
Okay.
But here's my thing on this. I always tell people, if I can get you in a train, a plane, or a ship, like, I'm on board. Like, let's make it happen.
I love it. I love it. Go wherever you can. That's awesome. Yeah. Spreading that and increasing your impact. We talk a lot about that, about increasing your impact and reaching more students. Mm-hmm. Man, what a way you're doing that. That's fantastic. So I want to touch on something. You know, you've had a lot of different experiences. You've got two master's degrees in two different areas in curriculum and instruction, education, leadership. You've been in the classroom. Now you're doing a consultant. You're traveling all over. You speak. You do all these different things. You've written two books. Lots of experiences there, lots of different things that you've done. You know, one of the things that I always talk about is that I've been really fortunate enough to fail a lot because I've learned from all those failures. So I want to tap into your brain about a time that you failed. Can you take us there with you and pick out a time that you've had a failure? Why, you know, kind of how it happened? How did it make you feel? Then how did you overcome that? And what did you learn from that failure?
Yeah. So, one thing that I love to do is I stretch myself. Like, I love when people tell me that, like, some sort of challenge or goal that I've set for myself is a bad idea. Like, I love when people tell me that, because I think, like, oh no, like you better get ready because I'm absolutely going to make that happen. And so about, well, it would have been 3 years into teaching, I decided that I wanted to start exploring becoming a national board certified master teacher. And people thought this was a horrible idea. And I'm like, no, like I want to stretch myself. Like I want to see what other great teachers are doing and I want to learn from that and I want to go for it. And so there's two parts to this. There's the like research part and like working with your students to really show best practices in your classroom. And then there is also the component of like passing a rigorous test to prove that you can actually apply that knowledge base to other situations. So I ended up not passing my written test and I was just devastated. Like I couldn't believe it. This kind of failure wasn't something that had hit me like in my adult life. I think as a student, you know, sometimes you don't do as well as what you had hoped, but you're kind of still learning. And as an adult, I just failed the test. They had declared that I was not the caliber of the teacher that I had aspired to be. And so I had to make a decision. Was I going to like start that process over? Was I going to retake the test? And let's get serious, repay the like however much money this test is to prove to myself and to prove to my students that this was something that I could do and to really practice what I preach, right? To get gritty and just go for it. And so I did. And at this point, you know, I've got that credential. And for me, it has absolutely nothing to do with the fact that I'm a national board teacher. It has everything to do with the fact that I want my students to see that I'm a lifelong learner. And not only am I teaching kids what I know, I am constantly learning to grow and to push myself to new levels. Like, I want students to see that this is a never-ending process. And also that we as teachers and we as adults fail sometimes too, and that's okay.
That's such an important lesson to be learned and be constantly learned and shown to students that we're all constantly learning. It never stops. It's okay to fail. It's okay mm-hmm. to be, and you got to learn how to move on. It's such a crucial skill for them to learn. So I love that story. I love that you share that because I think a lot of people can look at someone who has a lot of credentials under her belt and think, oh, well, she must just be amazing. She must just have had this, you know, figured out the whole time, and to learn that you failed it the first time and went back at it. I think hopefully if someone's listening and maybe they're struggling with getting prepping for that type of exam, they're hearing that mm-hmm. and get inspired to go for it. So be like Monica and just push through it anyway. I love it. So let's flip yeah. it now. So let's flip it. I'm sure you got a bunch of these too. Let's flip it around. Let's talk about a success that you've had. And this could be something like big or small, but can you kind of tell us what was it that happened? Why was it a successful moment for you? And then what did you take away from that experience?
Okay. It's kind of interesting. So I think sometimes we don't fully understand success until quite a bit later than what we hoped for. And so in 2014, a few years into teaching, I decided that I wanted to write a book on education. All the books that I were reading, to me, were reading like a textbook. And I wanted something raw and practical and something that I like could go and implement the next day. And at that point in time, there weren't a lot of books like that on the market. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to write one. And I don't care if it sells a single copy, like this was a bucket list item for me. So I wrote this book called Game Changers, and it is full of typos and it's full of grammatical errors. And it's not, when you first look at it, you wouldn't know that it was written from somebody who had no idea what they were doing. But I kind of believe in the say yes and then figure out how to do it along the way. And it's kind of interesting because the first few years of this book were not incredibly successful. But it's interesting because I wrote this over 3 years ago now, and I've sold more copies of this book in the past 3 months than I have the previous 3 years that it was on the market. And so it's kind of one of those things that, like, I think the way that we measure success is we want it instantaneously. And I saw something recently that said, like, We're not Amazon Prime. You cannot expect incredible results in 24 hours, right?
Yeah.
Like, sometimes success is like going in for the long haul and just seeing how it plays out. And since then, actually, I've re-released it. So the second edition of Game Changers is now available, and the content is the same, and it's still really raw, but it did lose a lot of the grammatical errors, and the formatting's a little bit better, but it's still super authentic. And to me, that makes it even more successful than the first time around, because it has been a work in progress. And to me, that's success.
What I love about your story is the fact that you humanize yourself. I mean, we actually talked about that before our podcast recording began, was that it's okay for people to see that you're human and make mistakes and are failing and are growing and then are successful and are able to reflect on that. And I think that's a huge part of education right now, especially social media, is teachers not just talking about big ideas and, you know, the great goals that they have, but also getting really raw and talking about, you know, how they reach those goals and how we can, you know, continue to inspire others to, you know, keep moving forward even after a failure, and kind of build this community, this network of powerhouse supportive educators just driving the force of changing education, right? Like education disruptors. So when you think about that, I mean, what else is exciting you about education and what we're doing right now?
I love that education right now is harder than it ever has been in my career. Like, I love that, because I think that, like, yes, it's hard from day to day, but I also think that the results that we are getting are bigger and better than ever. And so, yes, the struggle is real, and yes, we need more support, but I think when we ask for that support and when we really grind and start reading and learning and watching things like videos online for teachers or listening to things like this, like these podcasts, the resources are available, and that really excites me. It really does. And that's part of the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing this year. I didn't leave the classroom. I'm on an adventure to help teachers get the support that they need so that they can go and crush it in the classroom. Like, I understand that it's really, really tough right now. And mental health is really a scary thing right now. And, you know, maybe we're not getting the parent support that we want. But the thing is, like, teachers, like, this is for you. You still got this. Like, you got this. So utilize those resources and go out there and make amazing things happen for kids. And when I see people posting that stuff on social media, or if I've worked with a school and I go back to that school a couple months later and I see that they're putting some of those ideas and those philosophies that I talked to them about in practice, and they're having success with students, like, that gets me amped up. That's what learning is all about.
Hey everyone, while we take a quick break, I want to make sure that you know about all the free stuff over at teachbetter.com. We have obviously those free online courses we talk about all the time, but there's also really great ebooks and guides. We have standard-based grading, parent communication tricks and tips, district implementation guides, Observe Me posters, gamification badge kits, and so much more. So make sure you head over to teachbetter.com to check those out. Well, Monica, another part that I love that you're doing is you're traveling all over working with teachers, and you have become known. I mean, I was talking about this also earlier. Somebody called me 2 weeks ago and said, oh my gosh, do you know Monica? She is like the advisory social emotional guru. Like, you, it's just so funny that this is really the platform that you're built off of, is this desire to support teachers and really through authentic social emotional experiences for these students. So when I think about advice, I really want to ask you what advice you give a new teacher, maybe not a new teacher. I mean, obviously think about the new ones in the districts that are just, you know, starting their first job, but also the teachers that are just a few years in. What do they need? What advice do they need to hold on to and never forget to really become successful in the field that we're in?
Yeah. I think that it's hard right now for new teachers, because I think that what universities are prepping them for, it's not a bad thing. Like, I totally support higher education, but I think it's harder now than ever because we don't authentically know how to prep pre-service teachers because like there's no experience like the real world experience. So what I would tell them is we have to build deeply rooted relationships with our students from the very first day of school. And I think that, you know, my first few years teaching, I thought that that meant like I needed to know their favorite color and their dog's name, like things like that, which are important. But I'm talking like dig deeper than that. Like, I think that we need to know our students on such a light level before anything else can actually take root. I often say, like, we have to build deeply rooted relationships with students so we can see the fruits of education. Like, that foundational relationship is so very important. And so I often say, like, we got to do life with kids. And for me, the three pillars of a successful relationship are that I have camaraderie with kids, that I have compassion with kids, and that I can effectively communicate. And it's not just me with them, it's them with me, and it's like students with their peers. And, you know, I don't call my classes periods. Like, I have a second period science, I have a third period science, and that's great, but I refer to those as my family. My second hour family and my fourth hour family. I think that we have to take more ownership of that 40 minute or 50 minute or whatever time block you have. Like, we have to take ownership of using that as quality time with kids. And I think that starts when we are building relationships with them.
Oh, that's absolutely like I the relationship piece. And we say it a lot. A lot of people talk about it, but it's such a crucial part that just students they're not going to care about learning until they know how much you care about them. And so they understand and they build that relationship with you. They're going to accept everything that you're trying to guide them on so much better. So that's such awesome advice. And that goes, I think, from first year teachers to 30 year teachers to whatever.
That relationship piece,
mm-hmm. It never stops being so crucial and so important. So I love that. I want to touch something, Monica, on, can we talk about your other book for a second? I love the title of 180 Days of Awesome. Can you give us like the, what's this book about? What can I expect?
Yeah. So that was a book that had never intended to be written. That, was not my goal at all. Really transparent moment. About 6 years into the profession, I kind of wanted to leave. It was devastating, and it wasn't like that I just wanted to go and like work at a university or something like that. Like, I wanted to completely abandon education. And I realized that this, like, education is evolving, but the problem was that I wasn't evolving with it. And so, like, I had to change my mindset. So what I started doing was actually keeping this like super secret journal. And I told myself that I was not leaving my school every single day until I had intentionally reflected on one little awesome moment that had happened that day. I was intentionally finding those, and I would just write like a paragraph. And what I noticed was, as I was exiting the building, that's what I was focused on. There might have been 99 things that went wrong that day, but I was leaving the building focused on that one small, awesome thing that helped me celebrate education. And so as I'm writing this, I started to notice that I was also aware of those moments in the moment that they were happening. And I would tell students like, oh my gosh, that was awesome. That could be my awesome of the day. And so they started picking up on that language, and then other teachers in the building started picking up on it. And it created almost this really interesting, awesome ripple where people around me were also looking for those really cool, awesome moments. And so at the end of it, I had this really cool, almost like memoir of my year. And a teacher said, okay, so here's the thing. This is what education needs right now. Like, this has to be released. And again, I had no desire to do that because it was real and it was raw. And it's like, there's like cuss words in it, and there's words that aren't even words, but it was a personal journal. And with quite a bit of encouragement and realizing that, like, almost truly I was being selfish. Like, teachers needed this. They needed permission to laugh and to cry. And this journal was giving teachers permission. So 180 Days of Awesome are stories and strategies and reflections of my year in a nutshell. And then what I ended up doing was I actually issue a reflection challenge for the teachers who read it so that they can implement that same sort of awesome moment in their own classrooms and make it personal for their learning and for their journey.
Wow. That is, for lack of, it's the best word. That's awesome. I love that
focus. I like
focus.
It, yeah.
that's great. I love that. That's what you did. And I love the organic nature of that. I'm a big, I journal every day as well when I wake up and before I go to sleep. So I do a morning mm-hmm. journal where I, you know, reflect on what I'm thankful for, what's going to make today great. And I do daily affirmations. And then at the end of the day, I do a reflection back on three things that went really well and three things that could have gone better and focusing on that. Like, so I really believe in the power of that. But I love that mm-hmm. that became your focus every day versus all the other things that could have been your focus and could have taken you down a negative path or, you know, gotten you frustrated or burnt you out faster. Instead, you had this focus on what was awesome for the day. Like that's really mm-hmm. powerful. I love it. So now yeah, let's see how awesome you really are though. So here's what we're going to do now.
Oh boy.
I have six questions. I have six questions for you and your goal is to answer each one in 15 seconds or less.
Okay.
Think you can handle
that? Oh, man. I like this. Yeah, this is a great challenge. I am
all
like
right.
on board.
Yeah, all right.
I feel like I need to put on a sweatband.
Well, Steph, I have to tell you, of all the people we've had on podcasts, if there's anyone who I think can crush this, it's Monica.
Are you putting money on the table right now, Ray? Are you?
I am.
Okay.
I'm putting money on the table, sir.
Well, this is recorded, so you don't get out of this. We'll determine the amount later. All right, here we go, Monica. What is one ed tech tool you cannot live without?
Canva.
What book are you reading right now, or one book that you're reading right now?
Talk Like TED.
Love it. Such a good book. Who do we need to follow on Twitter today?
Oh, man. I think you should follow Ray if you're not. I'm not even kidding. I'm not even saying that because she's right there, but like for real, great stuff.
I agree. What's the best YouTube channel or website blog for educators?
Honestly, not a cop-out answer. I think TED Talks, like the TED Talk channel on YouTube.
Good answer. What is one daily, weekly, or monthly routine that every teacher should get into?
I get up and I have the exact same routine every single morning, starting at about 5. I get the workout in, I do a morning reflection, and then I crush it for kids.
I love it. And what is the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Don't just talk about it, be about it.
Oh my gosh, you crushed it. Talk about crushing
it.
Like...
Did I get it?
Yeah, you did. Oh, you win our respect.
There needs to be confetti.
Yes.
Confetti in the air, everything.
Yes, I feel it. Oh, my God.
That was great.
No,
I mean,
over here.
Solid answers. I love the daily routine. That's great stuff and awesome advice. Don't just talk about it, be about it. I love it. Love it, Monica. Perfect.
Yes.
Monica.
Oh, man. Okay, good.
I have to say... One of the many reasons we wanted to have you on this podcast is for just the energy you exude. I know that I'm sure people tell you, but just so that you can hear it, because I really think that sometimes you don't tell educators how great they are. Being around somebody who is so passionate it just fills you up. You know, like we all talk about the buckets and you can't fill somebody else's bucket unless yours is full. And I just think everybody out there needs to connect with you, keep following you, find ways to hear you speak live. Because the energy and inspiration you produce in just a 20-minute podcast is so uplifting. And I hope that all of our listeners are feeling that goofy energy that's coming out of the realness in this podcast recording. It's so fun.
Yes. Well, I have had a blast doing this. Like, I'm over here. I'm, like, sweating a little. I mean, those six questions, really, I mean, whew, it was like cardio insanity over here. But honestly, like, I really do appreciate this because I think that, like, there are so many great educators doing so many great things, and I appreciate you guys taking the opportunity to want to talk because, like, what the Teach Better team is doing is so meaningful, and I'm pumped to have been able to share the past few minutes with you guys.
So the most important question I might have for the entire podcast is just simply like asking you how people can connect with you, whether it be Twitter, Instagram, website, blog, Facebook, YouTube, books, I don't care, but somebody, some way that somebody can connect with you and keep kind of the energy flowing.
Yeah, totally. So on social media, I'm at Monica Genta ED. So Monica Genta Ed, G-E-N-T-A, like the color. And like all my books and all of my vlog and blog entries are available on my website, monicagenta.com. I love connecting with people and I love creating memorable moments for PD or for just like communicating with teachers and doing life with each other. It really gets me amped up. So I think people say like, don't hesitate to reach out, but I'm like dead serious. I pride myself on having a clear inbox and a clear like email at the end of the night. So like, let's hang out, let's chat.
I love it. And you know that you can find all the links and all the resources and everything that we've talked about in this episode over at teachbetter.com, as well as those really important links like to Monica's social media and to her website so you can connect with her and keep the conversation going. So make sure you head over to teachbetter.com for all of that. Be sure to hit subscribe so you don't miss any of the upcoming episodes. And if you can give us a rating and a review, we'd really appreciate that as well. Monica, truly, truly, thank you so much for coming on. Your passion is infectious, and I love it. I'm super excited to dive into both your books now and take on the 180 Days of Awesome, and I encourage anyone else who's listening to do that as well. I love it. So thank you for taking time out of your day and hanging out with us and having some fun and doing everything. Really, really appreciate it a lot.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
And everyone who's listening, until next time, let's get out there. Let's teach better.